This episode of Camp Nightmare is brought to you by Wonder Book and Video.
Go to wonderbk.com today.
Future Fantascope and the Nerd Camp Network present Camp Nightmare, a podcast for happy campers. There'll be fun, fiends, and ghosts, maybe even a few murders, and of course, you're all invited.
Hello, campers.
Happy almost Halloween.
I'm JB.
And I am Jordan.
Welcome back to Camp A Nightmare.
Yes.
We are so excited to be here with you for the culmination of spooky season.
That's right. It's been a fun month talking a lot about ghosts, hauntings, witchery, and now we're going to talk about some cryptids that haunt our local regional woods.
There's a general theme of things that haunt you but can't be proven.
Yeah, right.
Spooky season.
And one of these creatures is even referred to as a ghost by some of the early settlers who first gave it a name. So today we're talking about Maryland cryptids, the Snallygaster.
The Snallygeist.
And the Dwayo.
And the Dwayo.
So, that sentiment is correct.
I'm sad that there's no ancient etymology for Dwayo. Like,
there's
Snallygaster
really
comes from Schnellogeist.
Yeah, it has a, yes, I agree. Snallygaster is a far better cryptid.
The
you know,
Dwayo
for my money, for my, like, cryptozoological dollars.
Dwayo feels very much like a cryptid that came in late stage to, like, get everybody roused up about cryptids again.
He's a next gen, second, you know, generation
he's Poochie.
Pokemon.
He's Poochie.
He's Poochie. He skateboards in, and he's just like, hey!
Hey, Dwayo!
It's a Dwayo. Am I a wolf man? I don't fucking know, but here we go. I'm in Maryland, though.
But before we get into any of that,
let's talk about what's new.
Merch news. Our brand new Camp Nightmare merit badges.
They are here.
They are commercially available. They were available pre-order to our patrons. Thank you guys, by the way.
Thank you guys, yeah.
A number of you reached out and were like, let me get those merit badges.
And now they are available to everybody. We have both enamel pens and glitter stickers for three different designs. We have Happy Camper, Cryptozoology, and Necromancy currently available. We have plans in the future to do more limited runs of new merit badge designs. But for now, that's the three that we have.
Indeed.
They're up in our camp store on campnightmare.com.
I'll tell you right now, if you guys can send us a picture of either you with a cryptid of your choice or you somehow practicing necromancy, if you guys send us a picture of that for us to post on IG, which means if you send it to us, know that we're going to post it.
Yes.
We will give you a 10% discount on those merit badges. So we want pictures of you.
That can be, you know, however stretch of the imagination you can make that work, go for it. If you find yourself with a picture of a real cryptid, we'll give you some. I don't know what we'll give you.
I'll give you them for free if it's a real cryptid.
I don't know what we'll give you, but we'll give you. Know, you'll get it. Just know that.
No, granted,
right?
There's going to be a rigorous vetting process.
Yeah.
If you claim that it's a real cryptid.
You know what? Go, everybody. Just, you know, I'm excited to see what you come up
with. We're
going
to have Dan and Kat Eckhart set you, like, sit down with you in, like, an occult lie detector.
Yeah.
If you lie, you're going to die.
I'm not sure if she can do that, but I'm pretty sure she has the spirit technology to do that somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
So send us your cryptid pictures. Get some discounts
on
some
merch.
Yeah,
and if you don't want to go through all that work, that's fine. They're on the website. You can just buy them at full price. You turnip.
Yeah. Up next on video game news, the new Skull Island Rise of the Kong game is finally here.
And it's the worst game of the year.
It's being completely shit on by fans for being so fucking horrible.
Right.
And like, you guys think you maybe know how horrible this game looks, but you don't.
it's they repurposed Donkey Kong is what they did.
This is
DK64.
This looks like 20 year ago graphics, dude. Like, this is really...
It really does. Well, here's the thing. I would argue, and Jason Michael, if you're listening, you probably would be better to comment on this than me. But I would argue the last 5 years or so, maybe even closer to 10 years, we've seen a resurgence in just like really good video games.
And I don't mean
just graphically moving forward, but like games that have legit plots to them.
Yeah,
and there's
to
pathos
them.
In it.
Yeah.
And fucking, So to see something like this come out and have it just be such garbage. Like it
feels like insulting, right? But it feels like the game company puts this out and they think that we're just going to take it and we're just going to be like,
well,
and wow,
was
King
Legendary
Kong.
Involved?
Wow.
Was Legendary involved in this?
No.
Okay.
Legendary, I mean, they were involved to the point where I think they licensed the name.
I feel like they would have, they should have or would have said something.
We're going to put some of these clips of like the cut scenes from this game on the X-Files of the website so you guys can check it out because they are hysterically bad. King Kong looks like he's like spent his entire life locked in a basement and has just seen the sunlight for the first time in his entire life. I can't get past it, dude. I think it's weird because I kind of want to play it now because I'm like, surely this, it can't be that bad.
I think he has ennui.
The
Kong isn't supposed to look like a normal sized chimp. A chimpanzee. Is that how you say it?
A chimpanzee.
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 That's the newest video game news. Up next, movie news.
Oh, man.
Spawn is actually happening. They keep talking about it. It keeps not happening. But Jason Blum has decided to speak on the matter, which I suppose makes it official.
Of course he has, because Jason Blum just does enormous amounts of cocaine and starts talking.
He says it's going to be the Blumhouse version of a superhero movie, which, okay, sure, whatever. But I am excited to see that Todd McFarlane seems to still be signed on as writer and director.
I have real mixed emotions about comic book writers directing movies.
Sure.
Because of Frank Miller.
Okay.
So Sin City was great.
Yeah, I was going to
like
love
the
Sin
original,
City.
But Frank Miller didn't direct that. Like okay. He kind of did, but he directed that with heavy-handed help from Robert Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
There's a like watch that movie.
Yeah,
the aesthetics are very Frank Miller, but like the actual direction, cinematography, the movement of the camera is very Robert Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. That's 100% Frank Miller. Or go watch The Spirit.
That one. It's not 100%. That great.
It's terrible. it's clunky because it moves like storyboards, mm-hmm. right? Like the point of storyboards is to like portray motion so you know how the shot's going to move. But, I could be talking out of my ass. You would know better than me. But it feels like those movies are shot as though each scene is a storyboard. There's not really much movement. It's very clunky.
Yeah, more comic booky. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I'm concerned that that's what's going to happen with this Spawn movie. Because I don't love the original Spawn with Michael Jai White. Like, it's good, but I don't love it.
I love John Leguizamo in it.
Yes.
As the psycho
him
clown.
Is the, well, and they so, my only beef is that they never call him clown in the comics. He's the Defiler.
All right, but he's a clown. He knows he's a clown.
But John Leguizamo really gets the spirit of that character. And mm-hmm. the overall look of that character is pretty, as are most of the characters in the movie. But the Spawn series that was on HBO with Keith David doing the voice of Spawn,
Even seen
that. Dude, it's on Max.
Okay.
It's incredible.
David. Anything Keith David voices.
And here's the thing, is that Todd McFarlane wrote that and directed a bunch of those episodes. Mm. So, maybe he'll... If anything, I think he knows, how to tell this story better than anyone else does, because
it's
his.
Why, it's his, yeah. He knows the inner workings.
Which I think,
because
the dude that made the is it 2003, whenever that movie came out?
I want to say it was even 90s, the movie.
Maybe. But the guy that made the original Spawn definitely had no real connection to the source material.
1997.
Okay, so he had no real connection to the source material, and it shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I have, hope, and I'm cautious about this.
Yeah. This next thing I have no caution about. Throw caution to the wind. I'm just fucking stoked. Movie news next. Mike Flanagan has spent no time off. He just dropped Fall of the House of Usher, and he's already in the saddle again, currently filming his newest Stephen King adaptation, Life of Chuck, which is currently in production and starring Tom Hiddleston and Mark Hamill.
Do you think Tom Hiddleston's going to be young Chuck and Mark Hamill's going to be old Chuck?
That makes sense to
me. I think that would be the
guy and his grandfather, maybe.
I think it would be fucking great.
Mark Hamill, his character in Fall of the House of Usher was really impressive.
Arthur Pym.
I loved the Pym Reaper. I loved that. What a great character.
Dude,
he played him so well.
His voice. It's great.
The final episode, his confrontation with the Raven and the deal.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Good. Well,
don't
great.
Ruin that
I'm
for
excited.
Me.
So are you watching the show now?
I've been watching it since it dropped. Mm-hmm. I just have a 1-year-old, so that's not a show I can watch. Not only do I have a 1-year-old, I used to watch scary shit in the same room as Charlie because she wouldn't really retain it. Nah, dude, she's a full-on toddler now, kids. And let me tell you something about toddlers. Like, everything, they absorb everything you do. My daughter has already dropped the F word. My daughter has already, oh, dude, she's already straight up been like, fuck. And like, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to be very weird about violence and sex and stuff with her, but like cursing, nah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's not a battle I can win.
Yes.
I
shall teach her the barbarous names from the Necronomicon.
I mean, I don't know that I'm going to like encourage her to curse like a sailor, but I'm certainly going to not temper my own cursing around her.
Teach her to tell that teacher at school not to fucking
Dude,
tell her
I
what
have
to
made
do.
This joke since before she was born that there will be a moment in my life where I have a meeting with a principal or a guidance counselor or a teacher where this thing gets said to me. Mr. Dunn, your daughter looked that teacher dead in the eye and said, back up, you mark-ass buster. And my immediate response is going to be, well, was the teacher being a mark-ass buster?
Yeah,
because if so, I don't know why I'm what I'm doing here.
Yeah, you need the context of the situation to find out if that's valid.
Yeah.
You're going to have that conversation with your daughter where you're going to have to be like, listen, one day, daddy's going to punch one of your teachers in the face.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be grade school or high school, honey. But
it's
is coming.
Happen. No, I fully believe, like, my goal is to teach her context. And my goal is to be like, hey, like, I'm not going to tell you not to curse, but, like, understand there's consequences for it and, like, make it count.
Yeah, and if you, when the day comes and you punch that teacher out and you scream the word context over their lifeless corpse.
What?
Yeah, in the scenario, you did kill this guy with a single punch, so I don't know if that was rage or if he had, like, a debilitating...
Yep.
Disease already, and then I don't know.
So all this
again,
is just,
I need context.
All this is to say I'm on like I'm on like episode 5 or 6. I'm on Goldbug, but it's
okay,
like the
yeah,
end
great.
Of it's like the end of Goldbug when
nice.
She starts wiling out at the.
Oh yes,
yeah. So I haven't gotten to her death yet, but like I know it's coming.
Great. This show is amazing. Fall the House of Usher is like chef's kiss.
It really is. So it's I'm so excited about Life of Chuck as well, man.
Oh yeah, it's a weird Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's
what
like,
Flanagan does, man.
Yeah, he picks the weird ones. And it's like this, you know, it's a very strange way to tell a story in the way that Stephen King even wrote it, even for him. And so I think it's going to be some seriously masterful flexing from Mike Flanagan to take on this kind of story.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it.
So up next on the steaming pile of streaming picks.
Up first on Prime, Dark Harvest. This is the new movie from David Slade. Who, if you guys don't know, is a horror director. He did 30 Days of Night is one of my favorite things that he did.
Oh, yes.
And I'm a big fan of that movie. And this movie is like a fall time, small town, scare like kind of scarecrow-ish type slasher.
Okay.
It looks extremely visual. Like, I'm watching this trailer a bunch of times. My first thought is like, this is like a slasher that looks like it was shot like the movie 300.
Zack Snyder slasher.
But for real, though, it looks really interesting. I'm going to watch that tonight, I think.
If Zack Snyder made a slasher film, I would watch it.
Hell yeah, why not?
I would watch it based on its pedigree.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm not going to not watch it, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Up next on Peacock, an annual watch in this household, anyway, Garfield's Halloween Adventure.
Hell yeah.
23 minutes of pure nostalgic Halloween gold.
I recently made Karen sit through It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah, I've just watched that
one,
too.
She and I just had different childhoods, man.
Well, she doesn't like it?
No, it's not that she doesn't like it. It's that, like, her parents were, like, real hippies and, like, didn't really do TV with them a whole lot. So, like, a lot of the stuff that's super nostalgic for us, like, another great example, Goonies, right? Like,
she's
never seen Goonies and has no desire to because it's not a nostalgia thing for her. And that actually makes a lot of sense to me. Okay. That, like, she didn't watch Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown as a child.
We're just brainwashed and it's actually trash.
Well,
and
I mean, we have positive emotions connected to it because we were, like, 6 when we saw it. So, like, she doesn't have that. So for her, it's like, why am I watching this child's cartoon? It means nothing to me.
She's like, I was raised in an actual cult that worshipped the Great Pumpkin, so this is actually traumatic for me.
She was like, my culture is not your costume.
We're culturally appropriating.
My culture is not your 80s TV special or 60s TV special. Up next on Disney Plus, of course we're going to say this, the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons Halloween specials.
You just gotta watch them.
Yeah, and you know, even the newer ones are actually kind of good.
Yeah, I know.
I don't
the newer
hate
ones
them.
Are fun too.
I don't hate them.
The latest one they dropped was, I think, last season's. I think that's the only thing you're like one season
Well, and
behind.
There's two of them from last season. There's the regular Treehouse of Horror, and then there's a Thanksgiving of Horror as well from last year that's actually pretty funny. Like there's that a, one's there's pretty an good. Apocalypto parody where everybody's a turkey.
And there's the full one is like a is like an It Pennywise
one. Oh yeah, there's three of them from last year.
And man, I personally always like going back and watching some of the first like, you know, 5 to 10 are like my really my top favorite. So I love watching those. They're hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's
they're good throughout. All of them
there's
are
a
good.
Sprinkling of really good ones from season 10 to like season 25.
There's like this period in that era where they kind of like forget that they're a Halloween special.
Yeah, and it just becomes let's parody whatever is popular.
Popular. Yeah, it becomes like this pop culture thing with like a Halloween tie around. But then they realize that they've forgotten their roots and they get back to their roots.
Yeah, I think
later
the very
on.
First one, the one with the Raven, is one is
fantastic.
Is a work of brilliance.
That's one that like must be watched.
Their version of the Raven is brilliant.
Especially now that we're living in the wake of Mike Flanagan's Fall of the House of Usher, I think you guys might get a kick out of rewatching that first one and getting the Raven told to you by James Earl Jones.
Even Dan Castellaneta understanding how to read the Raven. Like when I watched Joel Cohen's Macbeth, the one with Denzel and Frances McDormand. The best thing about that is that Denzel on a DNA level understands Shakespeare so well that he understands the inflection in his voice and how to deliver it. And it makes that whole movie hit different. In fact, if you guys haven't seen Joel Cohen's Macbeth, I highly suggest it. But in The Simpsons Raven, there's the parts where Homer is quoted with like, "Now take thy beat from out my heart." It's just done so, like, he understands the emotion behind it and how to read it correctly. And it's one of the best readings of the Raven I've ever seen.
It's really, really well done. I mean, the whole thing, the animation, James Earl Jones narration, Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah.
It's a must. It's a must for me.
So lastly, on Hulu, Monster Inside. So this is a sort of expose documentary on Russ McCamey. He is the guy that has that Something Manor.
Yeah, it's like the torture haunt
it's,
manor.
It's
or
like the most.
The
it's the most extreme haunt in America. And he's like in a lot of trouble right now for legitimately abusing people and like specifically the people that worked for him there.
Yeah, you like sign your whole life away in a waiver to get up in there, and then they'll like do whatever they want.
Pretty much, you basically give them the right to do whatever they want to you. We talked to Eric Rudd last year.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of the show.
He's a good
he
buddy
was
of
the show.
And he's a professional haunter and makeup. He's an incredible makeup artist. In fact, the mask in The Only Ones that you see was made by Eric. But
I'm staring at it right now. It's hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, same. Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? It's right there. but in light of that episode, in fact, I would encourage you guys to go back and listen to that episode. I'm really interested in this documentary because Eric had nothing nice to say about Russ McCamey.
No, he didn't even want to discuss
it. He was like, fuck. Exactly. He was like, I don't even say his name. So it's going to be interesting. So that does it for streaming picks. Up next, trailer of the week. Oh, my God, it's here.
It's finally here.
Crust is finally here.
From the twisted mind of Sean Whalen,
our
as
good
the
buddy,
film says.
You might know him better as Roach from People Under the Stairs. You might know him as the original Got Milk guy.
If you've been listening to the show for any amount of time, you've heard us talk about this movie. You've heard us have Sean on the show.
He's been on no less than three times.
We've had the like at least three cast members of the show on this.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting to finally see them drop the final trailer. Fangoria released it, and it's a ton of fun.
And check this out.
One of our Camp Nightmare logos. I'm not going to tell you which logo. I'm not going to tell you how it's used.
But it's used in the trailer somewhere.
It is in the movie. And if you can find it in the trailer and send us a screenshot of that moment, we will send you a free Happy Camper enamel pin badge. Because you know why?
Because you're a happy camper.
And you fucking earned it. That's why.
You fucking earned it. And that's what merit is about.
That's right.
Kids.
So go check out the trailer for Crust. It's out right now and we're super excited.
Oh my God, it's spooky season 2023, y'all. Can you believe we got here, considering the fucking existential dumpster fire of the real world that we live in? Now comes the fun pretend spooky stuff. The best possible place to get your spooky stuff is Wonder Book and Video.
They are the number one source for your spooky movies, spooky music, and spooky reads.
They have three retail locations, Gaithersburg, Frederick, and Hagerstown. If you can't get to any of those, that's fine. You can go to wonderbk.com and look through their whole online catalog. It is massive. I myself order from it regularly. We are actual customers, and we love them.
So that's Wonder Book and Video. Check them out at wonderbk.com. All right. So let's Let's go ahead and open up the cryptid files here and talk about
the Snallygaster.
Some local monsters. So we, as you guys have heard us said many times, are from the Frederick area of Maryland, and we have ourselves like quite a few legendary little monsters around here. But I would say these two are really ours.
These are, you know, yeah. Well, that are really the Snallygaster, at least
ours,
for sure. Originated. Well, I would say the Dwayo is probably the more like. Came from Frederick cryptid, but the Snallygaster,
they both originate in Frederick County.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the roots of the Snallygaster are really German, and that's who settled Frederick. And Frederick is definitely a German settlement above all else. And I love the roots of the Snallygaster.
It's a pretty awesome cryptid, honestly. I'm proud to have it as one of our own. So before we get into the history of these, let's describe the monsters a little bit.
Sure.
The Snallygaster, the big mama for today. It's a cryptid they describe as being like half reptile, half bird, or half dragon
in
some way.
I've seen it described as half like chimera. It's a chimera.
Right, which is like half one animal, half another.
Yeah, which is, so it's like half... Like Jordan said, it's basically like a dragon, but also a bird.
Yeah, and some of the descriptions, the cooler descriptions, have like tentacles coming out of the beak sometimes.
Yeah,
but it's always a flying dragon type.
And it
picture.
Always has a metal beak with serrated teeth.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of dope.
It always has a snake-like head, and they always focus on stuff like razor-sharp claws, a shrieking call that's as loud as a train horn. And it's said to live in the caves along the Maryland South Mountain.
Yeah, it came out of the Middletown Valley
to
begin with, which is between South Mountain and Braddock Mountain.
Yeah, that's about maybe like less than 10 minutes from here.
From your house? It's like
from
five
here, it's
minutes.
Like 5 minutes down the road, yeah.
So, it, like we said, it's most likely a myth that came over with the German immigrants. Mm-hmm. It was originally called the Schnellgeist, which means quick ghost in German. And most historians think that it has its roots in, like, German worms or dragons, like the German version of the dragon.
Yeah.
Mixed with some good old, like, folk terror.
Exactly. Like, yeah, folklore that was passed down orally. They settled, German settlers settled around our area in the 1730s, and that's where they first started describing the creature, the Schnellgeist.
Do you know that I lived in the oldest house in Frederick County for a while?
Did you really?
Yeah, so when I was living at Kimbry's, the dog kennel, it's up in Walkersville, the house that she owned and that was also the dog kennel was the oldest house still surviving in Frederick County. It's not the oldest house, it's not the first house ever built, but it's the oldest one still standing. And it was built in like 1736 or something like that.
Oh wow, that's crazy.
Wild. Haunted as fuck.
Oh, I bet.
Haunted.
All the ghosts go there because they're like, shit, all our houses have just come over to my house.
It was the kind of haunted that like they'd had multiple mediums come to that house and all of the like it was the kind of haunted where like Kimberly and her dad were like at this point okay with the ghosts. Where they're just like, you know what? Don't fuck too much shit up. Like I guess we all gotta live here.
Yeah, we just gotta all deal with each other. We gotta come together.
But yeah, so the Schnellgeist, or the quick spirit, came over with German immigrants in the 1730s is when they settled here.
The early reports of the creature were actually less dragon-like, and it was more like a ghoul or a spirit, like the name implies. But it still like flew around, so they believed this thing to this sort of bird-like dragon spirit thing to like fly around and swoop down and take away children and take away livestock.
So the settlers and the farmers obviously feared it and would paint these seven-pointed stars on their barns, which you can still see today, especially when you drive out into sort of the western part of Frederick where there are still farms or up towards Middletown. You'll see a bunch of barns with seven-pointed stars on them, and that is actually like old Gaelic and Gaul superstition. Mm. That's some straight-up fucking paganism right there.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, how that shit like leaks down, because you still see a lot of like barns today with at least a five-pointed star on it. Of course, it's always like not inverted or usually, but and they just believe it brings luck or whatever, but all that stuff kind of goes back to these folk beliefs to ward off spirits and to bring luck and all that stuff to the crops and everything inside the barn.
Well, it's interesting if you read I know that J.K. Rowling is real dismiss it or divisive right now.
Sure.
I'm not making an argument for or against her in any way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even going to bring my personal. I'd like this is a new step for me, kids. I'm not going to talk about her personally. What I will say is that in her Fantastic Beasts book
yeah.
that she updates occasionally, the most recent update since the movies have come out, the Snallygaster and the Dweo are both mentioned in it.
Are they?
And the Snallygaster is mentioned as having come over with German witches and wizards.
Really?
Yeah,
so
the whole
JK did her Maryland folklore research.
Yeah.
Hey, nice. And hey, you're good. I like to see the Snallygaster give a little get a little love, you know, outside of the our local folklore.
Yeah, maybe next time we can get some love from like a non-trans hating.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Person,
I choose to believe that J.K. Rowling doesn't exist, actually. So I just believe Harry Potter was a virgin birth.
It's fair. It's fair. It was an immaculate conception.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the Dweo a little bit,
and then we'll
come back to the Snallygaster. So the Dweo is much more like this is. Frederick born and bred, baby.
The Maryland Dogman is what they call him. He's not a wolf man. He's not a werewolf, apparently. He's a dogman. He's the Maryland
Dogman. All right, so basically the description of the Dweo is a giant dog that walks on two legs.
Yep.
And like Rock'em Sock'em style attacks people with its front legs.
Whoosh.
In my understanding, it wasn't even mentioned until like the early 20th century. Like
I think it's the 1940s, but it's in the
It's officially given a name in the 1940s. But I think the first mention of this type of creature was in like either the aughts or the 20s, probably the 20s. But it's so very obviously someone's just like I done seen a thing. Didn't you see a thing?
I drank a lot of moonshine and saw a bear or did I?
We were talking with Kelly Valentine. With the Bell Witch, how like a lot of it at some point became just people being like, I saw this, you saw that, right? And the next person's like, I think I did see a pond. Is there money involved? and it's, so in the 1940s, that's when it is officially given the name Dweo. And
so it's a late comer, it's a late bloomer.
Yeah, and I mean, it's supposedly the mortal enemy of the Snallygaster.
Yeah, and we'll get into that later because I don't know about all that, but that's what they say.
Let's make some money off some Snallygaster fests.
But they say it's about 6 to 8 feet tall. What I don't know, and I cannot find in any of the research, is it doesn't seem to be like, I guess, lycanthropic in the way that it doesn't.
No, it seems
doesn't
to be
seem
like
to,
an Irish wolfhound standing on its hind legs.
Like it doesn't seem. None of the reports, anyway, ever claim this thing to turn into a man and then back into the Dweo. It just seems to be. All wolf man all
yeah,
the time.
It's a grim.
Yeah, it's a grim. There you go.
It's a grim.
Sure. And it has some beef with the Snallygaster for whatever reason.
Yeah, so the Snallygaster is celebrated in our area. Like Bigfoot is celebrated in others. You know, it's Maryland. So one of the things I've learned about Maryland having toured outside of Maryland is that Maryland is very smug and very like if there's something that's cool, we have to have a version of it that's only Maryland.
That's a Maryland thing. Yeah. Maryland loves Maryland and the things that Maryland has.
Yeah, it reminds me of that episode of South Park where they all fart into glasses and smell like that's how Maryland
is.
I feel like I'm losing so many listeners right now. They're like, how dare you besmirch the great state of
Hey man, we live in Maryland. We like Old Bay as much as the next guy.
Leave
us alone. But he's like our Bigfoot, the Snallygaster. We celebrate him. I've seen Snallygaster toys. There's been paintings and murals. There's retellings of the folklore.
South Mountain Creamery even has a flavor of ice cream called the Snallygaster. It's one of the best ice creams I've ever had.
Ooh,
it's
what's Snallygaster?
It's peanut butter ice cream with chocolate covered pretzels.
Oh, yes,
and like big swirls of like real salted caramel in it. It's so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate chunks in it as well. It's so, dude.
Chocolate peanut butter is the combo that cannot be beat.
No,
so,
it really can't.
It's great. In our town, specifically in Frederick, every year, there's a man-made river called Carroll Creek that like runs through the middle of our town. And every year, a bunch of businesses and people and organizations build these elaborate like light-up boats.
Yeah.
And they float them in the river, and everyone comes to see them, and they ooh-ah at it all. It's all very pretty. And one of those boats that they float in the river... They've built two. I forget who actually did it, but there's two Snallygaster-themed ones. There's a boy and a girl. I think it's Sullygaster and Sallygaster. So every year, you know, there's more and more celebration for the love of the Snallygaster. In fact, just recently, I'm not sure if it was last year or this year, but the first ever American Snallygaster Museum opened in
this year. It opens in December.
In Frederick County is open. Yeah, apparently it's being run by... one woman and her husband is helping, and they are opening it up in the barn on their property and running it all themselves. And it's just a labor of love for the sake of the Snallygaster.
Yep. And our own friends, the Eckharts, actually, they've even been tasked with the job of ridding their town of Sykesville of the Snallygaster's presence.
Yeah, which again, I don't know. I said this before when we talked about this. I don't know how I feel about it, because it's like, what is Leave Us Alone is a Frederick monster, you know? It's, Frederick deals with Frederick Mitt monster.
It does feel like they're kind of biting our shit a little bit.
I know. Next week, we're going to
be
with...
See, this is what I'm talking about with Maryland. Like, Frederick's like, hey, that's ours.
It's our thing. I know we're both in Maryland, but this is our part, you know?
Yeah.
Well, actually, next week is going to be a cool episode. We're going to hang out with the Eckharts in a haunted distillery in Sykesville.
Yeah.
And do our podcast from there. So we'll have to see what's up with their Snallygaster hunt and their perspective on that whole thing. So, because I don't know. I got questions. But yeah, let's talk about the history of the Snallygaster.
Let's talk about the timeline of the Snallygaster. So like we said before, the Snallygaster came to America via German immigrants, and mm-hmm. it was kept alive.
I like to think that it came on the boat a la Last Voyage of the Demeter. You
right.
know?
No, it was more like just the Last Voyage of the Oral Tradition. Which is interesting. I've made this point a lot, that we exist in a real weird time in history right now, right? Because oral tradition sort of evolved into people writing shit down, keeping record of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And now we've sort of evolved from that to this like cloud-based record of everything that's happened.
Right.
And it's interesting to me, because that is almost inevitably going to degrade and inevitably going to not exist sometime at some point. So like, I wonder what from our time period right now is going to continue to exist via oral tradition. Mm-hmm. It's like, you ever think about that? Like, what people are going to... Like, I lived in a time when there was a phone that plugged into the wall, and it only stayed there, and there was no... You had no idea who was calling. You just had to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're getting close. I mean, with technology, it changes so fast, especially in the last generation, that I think we're getting close upon that kind of future very soon.
Yeah, dude, if you try to explain landlines to some Gen Zers, they have zero idea what you're talking about.
I mean, but I think... But think about, like, you know, that's where kind of movies come in, though, because, like, everybody has seen a movie where someone, like, uses a rotary phone or something that, like, I've never even lived in a household that's had a rotary fucking phone.
Yeah, but I feel like for Gen Zers, that's like us watching movies when phones still had, like, an operator at a switchboard. We're like, operator?
Yeah.
Like, that's what that's like for them, is us watching that. Yeah. We're just like, oh, you outdated turnips, you.
I love this phrase, turnips, too, by the way.
You know what it is? Are you familiar with effing birds?
Like, vaguely.
I have a couple of shirts where it's, like, a picture of a bird and then, like, a really, like, mean or obscene phrase underneath it. Okay. Like, I have one that has an eagle that just says, eat farts.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I love that shirt.
So I saw one the other day that I don't even know what the bird was, but the phrase was, you absolute fucking turnip. And, like, I just love that phrase.
So that's where that's going. I like that.
Yeah.
I might use
that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So 1909, the Snallygaster makes headlines for 2 months for the first time ever. It dominated regional headlines.
Yes.
Like, it was looked at real seriously. Turns out it was a hoax, but here's how seriously it was taken. Motherfucking Teddy Roosevelt, who was president at the time, considered taking leave from something he was supposed to do diplomatically overseas to come personally hunt it. in the hill, the Middletown Valley, and in the hills around South and Braddock Mountain.
And for those who don't know much about Roosevelt, he loved to hunt things.
Yes,
he was
did.
Like a big game hunter kind of wannabe guy, and not even wannabe. He was just a regular ass hunter. But yeah, these were mostly focused starting in the Middletown Valley. And we got some quotes from the actual publications. Here's our first newspaper quote from 1909.
Oh, let me do it.
Yeah, you got a good voice for it?
Oh, yeah, I got the 1909 newspaper voice.
You got a good voice?
Yeah, all right.
All right, let's hear it.
A gigantic monster passed over this place last night about 6 o'clock. It was plainly visible, had two immense bronze-like objects as wings, an enormous head from which horns protruded, and a tail 20 feet long. It emitted a noise like the screech of an octopus. Some who saw it declared it to be a Snallygaster.
That's amazing. Good voice. What the hell is an octolopus? I'm looking this up right now.
I don't
know.
You fucking wrote this.
I didn't make the words up. I just took the quote. Let's see
octolopus.
What an
octopus. See, it was the nomenclature at the time for any sort of I don't know what species of animal.
Hey, this is what the person said. I'm like, he says it like we're all supposed to know what this is. Octolopus.
Well, it was probably somebody from rural Frederick County quoted and thought that was the actual word. It was an octolopus.
Everyone's like, yeah, just like an octolopus.
We sainted it. It was pandelirium.
And then in February 1909, there was another report of a man who was picked up by the Snallygaster. Reports claiming it to have bit into his jugular vein, drained all his blood, and then dropped his ass onto the hillside. You want to read this one, too?
Oh, I got it.
You got it?
Yep.
Snallygaster was spotted by a man named Bill Gifferson, who was walking along a country road one evening when it swooped down from the night sky and snatched him up, pierced his neck with its beak, and tossed his lifeless body over a cliff.
So we're not sure if Mr. Gifferson actually counts as a eyewitness victim because he's dead.
He witnessed it in his final moments.
But that's
glorious moment.
But that's the first like recorded Snallygaster victim.
Yeah. And I mean that's a pretty horrific story. And it's sucking everyone's bloods out, dropping corpses all over Maryland.
So from there were a series of articles that started popping up regionally where everybody started seeing the Snallygaster and having a personal story about it.
Ones that JB just read from specifically were from the Middletown paper, the Valley Register.
Yeah, which so it turns out that all of these reports were actually the work of two men. It was the editor and the publisher of that paper. Mm. It turned out to be these two men that had just orchestrated all of these articles and had basically ghostwritten all of them, created witnesses. Like, none of it was real.
And then it just gains life of its own, and everybody around the whole region starts reporting stuff.
Yeah.
People were reporting, like you said, it became national news. Teddy Roosevelt was talking about it. The fucking Smithsonian Institute, as in, like, the museums and the Smithsonian research in D.C.
Yeah, that's how deep it got before they were exposed. The Smithsonian Institute was like, we got to keep record of this.
They declared an actual reward for the capture of the creature. So yeah. They wanted a piece of it. People were reporting it laying giant eggs all over the place in Sharpsburg. They reported eggs in Burkittsville. People in New Jersey and West Virginia
and
were reporting
all, well,
seeing
and for
it.
Context, this was like, these reports started coming in like a couple weeks after like a resurgence of the Jersey Devil article started coming in. So like
which they kind of have a similar physical description.
And a lot of historians think that it was just people trying to like expand the hysteria.
Right.
Which it was.
Yeah, sure.
So <it was. laughs> all that came to a head when those two guys were exposed as having perpetuated this hoax. So then there was a 23-year absence from the Snallygaster in the media at all.
But he ended on a bang because in March of 1909, the final Snallygaster report described a group of men battling the monster for over an hour by the Emmitsville train station before this creature escaped into the woods. So, you know what? They know how to write a good ending and leave it open for a sequel.
Yarn.
And they leave it open for a sequel. They know that, hey, you know what? We got these eggs laid around. We'll hold back. You know, we'll let the Snallygaster come back.
Snallygaster 2, electric gasteroo.
I can't kill it. You know, you got to leave the folklore alive. Like you said, like it was a 23-year absence before really we got any more Snallygaster reports, and it lived in that time in oral tradition. So 23 years after the creature escapes dramatically into the woods of Carroll County, 1932 rolls around, and the Snallygaster strikes back.
Once again in Frederick County, a man reported seeing a bird-like reptile flying about 25 feet off the ground with a wingspan of almost 15 feet. He claimed that it had sets of tentacles coming out of its beak, like straight H.P. Lovecraft style.
Which is awesome. And so I guess it's, you know what, it makes sense? It's not till after the 20s we get our Lovecraft releasing some stuff. We have some like horror writers and sci-fi writers getting more popular. Now the Snallygaster evolves a little bit. People have time to read their Lovecraft, and next time the Snallygaster sighting starts, now he's all of a sudden sprouting tentacles, which, hey, I'm here for.
Wonder if that was a direct influence on that.
Yeah, I kind of think so. Like, tentacles became more of a thing in like the genre, and now all of a sudden this new iteration involves tentacles. We're in 32 now.
Some people simply claim that it flew by with an octopus in its mouth, but
I love that. That's like the redneck explanation. It's just a pterodactyl that happened to have a full adult octopus in its mouth.
You think some mythical beast with a full octopus mouth gonna stop me from harvesting my crops? You're goddamn wrong.
Which I just have to pose the question: what is more likely if we have a Lovecraftian reptile dragon flying around, or if we're just plucking adult live octopi off the ground in Maryland? No, I'm just saying.
It wouldn't
shock
me.
We're not that close to the coast. However,
it wouldn't shock me to hear Maryland would be like, hell yeah, we got our own octopus.
Yeah. They're land octopi.
They're land octopi.
Yeah, I saw a Snallygaster fly in the front door of H Mart into the back of the grocery store, pluck one of those octopi out of the glass case, and fly straight out.
Tell you what, Harford County is the only place in the world you're going to find land octopi.
That's right. Maryland has that. Something nobody would have but Maryland. Right, something only Maryland's advanced enough to have something like that crawling around.
Right down there at, Harvard de Grace. So the following week, people reported the beast again flying over the Braddock Heights area, very similar to the previous report.
This is like a perfect example of like none of the reports get expanded. This is literally just like a wave of I don't want to say hysteria, but people just see the opportunity and they start reporting the same thing.
Do you remember that YouTube video about the leprechaun in Montgomery, Alabama? It's that.
Of course I do.
It's that. Everybody wants to see the leprechaun, say yeah!
Yeah! That's one of the greatest videos on the internet.
Really is, though. It really...
And it's because it's also baffling because I don't know what their perspective is. If it's like, is it pure like mob mentality where you're just like, hey man, this leprechaun thing's happening,
they're just trying to get on the TV.
If it's like nobody knows it's real and they're like nobody believes it's real and they're just having a good time.
Area is so economically depressed. It's no shock to me that those people would be willing to look like absolute turnips on live TV to try and get people to come there and spend money there. And
I'm
like,
just a regular old normal everyday leprechaun enthusiast, you know? That's
I mean, look at me. Like, of course I am. Of course I am. And ever since I found out from 23andMe that I'm like 99.9% Irish.
Holy, hold it to 99.
For real though, if you look at my ancestral chart, I really am like 99% Irish.
99, you say.
Not just Northern European, but from County Dublin, don't you know?
Well, you know what says I? 99 is mighty fine. That's what Zaya says.
Mostly from County Dublin, a little from County York, or little from County Cork, but we don't speak of the Corkers.
No. Fine, mighty fine.
Fine folk.
99.
But yeah, so like, I feel like people in this area were probably on the same page that, you know, this is like deep into the Great Depression. Braddock Heights is now, it's actually a pretty nice area. Back then, it was mostly farmers that suffered the most from the Great Depression. So, of course, they would come up with this, like, this hive mind thing to try and get people to come spend money here.
Sure, why not?
And that's also a great segue into how the Dweo came into the picture.
Yes.
Again, it was just, you know, an economically depressed area. People needed them tourist bucks. Anybody who lives downtown in Frederick, like I do, understands what a tourist economy looks like firsthand, and it is lucrative, is all I have to say. It's infuriating to townies like me that live downtown and want it to be more of a communal economy.
It's what brings in town's money. Yeah. And you know what? And you know why the Dweo had to come about, and I'm seeing this now in the pattern. It's because 1932, they didn't do what they did in 1909, which is leave it open for a Snallygaster sequel. When they reports wrapped themselves up in 1932... they shot themselves in the foot, in the Snallygaster foot, by like reporting that the creature was killed. They actually killed the creature, and I love the way it died.
It was disoriented and killed by the fumes from a moonshine operation.
It swooped over all these rednecks who were just cooking up moonshine. Got so intoxicated by the fumes that he fell into a vat of like 1,500 gallons of pure moonshine and died.
And call then, it that good old Mountain Dew. There's literally a line in that song that says, birds in the sky got so drunk they can't fly, just smelling that good old Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that's about the Snallygaster. That's what that song's about.
Or they stole that story of the Snallygaster from that song.
Make myself some Snallygaster stew. Skew. Yeah.
Don't you dare besmirch bluegrass in my presence, son.
I wasn't besmirching. I was honoring the Snallygaster.
My culture is not your cryptid.
But my buddy. Cryptid is my culture.
Dude, let's be very clear, though. Bluegrass is certainly not my culture either. Like, I went to college in Appalachia. Like, I went to college in Blacksburg, Virginia, which is, like, as deep into Appalachia as you can get without, like, having no major towns near you. So I knew a lot of real hillbillies when I was there. And, like, I hate when any fucking, like, woke-ass white hipster with suspenders and, like, skinny boots decides that bluegrass is now
his or her
roots, and like starts acting like they're reviving some lost form of folk. It's like, dude, stop it.
They get themselves some Dickies overalls.
Instead of you playing Coachella, Marcus Mumford, how about you go to Appalachia and give some opportunities to dudes that have been doing that for generations?
Unless you do a banjo solo with Bigfoot, I don't want to hear single thing.
My big old baby like to eat. Big old booty belly. Tits hang down to her feet.
Oh, man.
So this kind of, like I said, it segues into the first Wayo sighting.
But what I love about that story, too, is they don't just leave it there. They don't just, like, it dies in the vat. Authorities arrive.
Oh, yeah.
And just destroy everything.
Because even back then, the men in black.
Destroy the vat. Destroy the corpse. You know, that's it. Because that's what you do with the
mythological
creature.
Because we weren't ready for this. They would have blown our minds.
Couldn't do it.
Blown our minds.
Then fast forward about 10 years, we got 1944, and because we killed off the Snallygaster in the last run of the series, now we have to bring in a whole new entity.
We got to have a season 3.
So we get a first Dwayo sighting.
Dwayo!
This one happens in Frederick County, in the Middletown area again. They find large footprints and the reports of a deafening, howling roar.
Now, I'm going to not do what I normally do and wait till the end of all of this to tell you my idea.
Yeah.
As Jordan's reading through this, I want you to picture what an Irish wolfhound looks like.
Yeah.
You ever seen one?
Yeah. Big old motherfucker.
Literally looks like a giant grim.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have had care of a Irish wolfhound at this kennel that I worked at for a while, and they are enormous.
Awesome.
Continue, my friend.
So, the story of the Dwayo became far more popular when our very own Frederick News Post spread the story November of 1965. You got some more newspaper energy in there for you?
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Near the woods of Gamble State Park, John Becker went out in his yard to investigate a strange noise. It was getting dark, and he had started back to the house when he saw something moving toward him. It was as big as a bear, had long black hair, a bushy tail, and growled like a wolf or a dog in anger. As it got closer, it stood up on its hind legs and attacked him. Becker fought the creature until it ran into the woods, leaving him, his wife, and children in horror. Deciding to remain anonymous under the alias John Becker, he filed a report with local state police telling of an attack by a mysterious monster that he called a Dwayo.
This led to many more people coming out and saying, oh yeah, we also saw this. I'm telling you right now, it was a giant dog that stood up on his hind legs. Probably didn't try to attack anybody. He was probably just like, I like you, friend.
Please give me pets.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't this fucking thing just be a bear? Like, couldn't it?
So the next one is the one that I think was a bear.
I see that they do mention a bushy tail, which is not very bear-like. This guy could just be drunk, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the next report is in 1976. Two men reported seeing the creature again near Thurmont, Maryland, saying it ran across the road in front of them, described it as a large wolf-like dogman that ran out on two legs with forearms that were muscled like a kangaroo. What if it was an escaped kangaroo?
So this thing is like jacked. Actually, there is that. How long has that Catoctin
Mountain
Zoo
been there? I don't know.
There is a zoo out there. Let's find out.
But what if it was a kangaroo?
I hope that this results in like a Catoctin Zoo cover-up in which they lost...
They lost some cryptids.
And they had to, like, you know, they went out and they just disappeared these kangaroos and no one ever knew.
Oh, my God, that's dark.
God damn you, Catoctin! Where is this? Catoctin Wildlife Preserve. This could change everything. This could blow the lid off this whole thing.
Oh, man, we're about to whistleblow.
2004, that can't be true.
That can't be right. Because it was there when I was...
Here we go. 19, get this. 66.
Oh man, it was escape. It was an escape kangaroo. I promise you that. It was absolutely a kangaroo. 100%.
Somebody hadn't cut the kangaroo's hair in a while.
But
it was kind of shaggy.
But I believe now that it beat the shit out of that dude. You ever seen a real kangaroo?
Like
they are
jacked.
Fucking terrifying. We got to put one on the X-Files.
Yeah.
They are
insane.
Fucking terrifying.
They look like they've just spent their whole lives just like,
lifting weights in a prison yard.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
See, like, I think when most people picture kangaroos, they're actually picturing a wallaby, which is the small, cute version of a kangaroo.
Just like young kangaroo.
They're fucking adorable.
Know? Yeah.
Kangaroos are not. Kangaroos are all jacked. You're like, oi. Oi. Oi.
Like,
cunt.
Like, come here, Meg.
Oi, cunt.
Come here, you cunt.
So for whatever reason, stories pit these two creatures against each other. We don't know why. I think it's just because Marylanders, again, are like, we're not happy without a rivalry.
Well, we have our toys, right? We have our Snallygaster and our Dwayo. We just want to make them fight.
That, yeah.
We just want to make them fight, bash them into each other, you know? So 1978, park rangers at Cunningham Falls, which is also
right across the street from that animal preserve.
Yeah, that's in the Thurmont region. It reported a bipedal wolf-like creature.
Again, it's a fucking kangaroo.
It could be a kangaroo.
A kangaroo needs a
haircut.
I mean,
like, the park rangers should know the difference between a fucking wolf and a kangaroo.
Have you been to Frederick County?
Yeah, I live in Frederick County, yeah.
Come on, man.
So, however, I guess, you know, you don't really expect to see a kangaroo in the Maryland woods, and, like, your mind might go to, that looks more
also,
like a wolf.
Maybe today they know that, like, in 2023, an average park ranger is going to know the difference between those two things.
Yeah.
1978, in fucking rural-ass Frederick County, I promise you none of them knew the difference.
They need to add that to, like, the entrance exam, you know?
Maybe they did
ranger.
After this. Like, maybe there is, like, a cover-up where they're like, we can't lose any more kangaroos.
Yeah.
Like, we got to put this shit in the entrance exam.
It doesn't need to be near the beginning. Just, like, near the end, like, question 85, you know? What is this creature? It shows a kangaroo, and you can circle, like, wolf.
Right.
Or other.
Hell
or
no! That's
kangaroo.
A giant swamp rat. Like, fuck.
That's a nematode. I've seen that before.
I killed many of them.
But yeah, I really don't know why they say that the Dwayo hates the Snallygaster so much. I've read like some of these old newspaper clippings that claim that the Dwayo, because it appeared 20 some years after the Snallygaster,
it was born of a Snallygaster's egg.
Yeah, they would say they hatched
somehow.
So
it's a boy named Sue. It's a boy named Dwayo.
So I don't understand that. I mean, I guess that's the Lovecraftian thing about it. You know, a Snallygaster lays an egg, a Dwayo pops out.
It's Lovecraftian, but it also like gives the more emotional people something to bite into.
Sure, I guess
he's
so.
Just like Daddy.
He's back.
Daddy, recognize me.
Why don't I have tentacles coming out of my mouth?
Daddy, all I want is for you to name me as your heir.
Daddy, look at me, Daddy. Daddy.
It's fucking Shakespearean, dude.
Yeah, that's true. It's classic. It's a classic tale.
It's some King Lear, but with cryptids.
King Cryptids?
King Cryptid.
Yeah, I love
calling that band name.
we're a King Crimson tribute band, but we all dress like Bigfoot.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Dress up like different cryptids.
Bro, I would go see that band. I would absolutely go see that band.
And somehow they twist the lyrics so they're about fucking cryptids, I guess. I don't know.
So it's damn near fucking impossible to find any reports of them actually doing battle against each other outside of like what I can only refer to as like super amateur fanfic.
There's like, yeah, besides fanfiction, like to find actual reports of like people saying they saw this is impossible. I fucking tried. But all you find is reports of reports that there are reports of them, but I can't find the
fucking
reports.
Well, and that's sort of like the slickest journalism trick ever, right? It's just like, oh, there's reports and we've seen them.
Are there, though? Because I haven't seen them. I can't fucking find them.
Let me tell you, there were pages.
Pages of them. So what I did find in one of these old newspaper reports is a reporter claiming that the Dwayo could take the Snallygaster's place as the region's most popular monster.
Ooh, them some fighting words.
So maybe this could just be a symbolic rivalry for our affections.
Yeah,
you know?
It's kind of like when you're in school and you're like, oh, this person could whip this person's ass. And like neither of those people has any beef with each other whatsoever. But now they're like, well, I guess I have to beat the shit out of that kid.
Now they have to fight. Right.
Somebody questioned whether or not I could.
But other than that, I don't know, because I don't see why they have to hate each other. I think there's plenty of room in these woods for cryptids of all kinds.
And what we really need in 2023 is a Snallygaster Dwayo team up.
Yes.
Like
kaiju
style.
The squad.
But cryptids.
Yeah. They need cryptid gang.
So they need to team up to fight Bunnyman.
Goatman is right here, too. Goatman could come in, too. We got the Goatman. We got Dwayo, they got the ground. We got the Snallygaster. He's got the skies.
Yeah.
Mothman, you know, he comes and goes as he pleases.
Mothman is not a reliable guy.
he goes where there's, you know, he's
needed. Injured cold.
Yeah, you just can't rely on him. But, you know, with that, we got like the Avengers of like cryptids happening here in Maryland.
I'm here for it.
And, you know, maybe we can get the
I think more like the Mystery Men than the Avengers. It's more like, I don't know if they're as slick or as polished as the Avengers. I think it's more like the Spleen.
A song, yeah, the Spleen. Yeah, and Mr. Furious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I fucking love that movie.
That's a great movie.
Do you remember who the played the professor that built all their weapons? It was Tom Waits.
Oh, it was Tom Waits?
Tom Waits, the guy that builds all the non-lethal weapons.
I need to rewatch
that. Well, and
there's
that he has that whole soliloquy where Ben Stiller's pissed that he doesn't have anything that kills, and Tom Waits is like, has this amazing philosophical point about like using non-lethal stuff and how it's like actually worse than using lethal stuff, and like he's designed these weapons to be so much more torturous and terrible for the person than just death. Yeah, it's great.
That's beautiful.
It is, because it's Tom Waits.
Yeah, exactly. I'll listen to him talk about death and weaponry all day.
So there it is, kids. Happy Halloween.
Yes.
Tune in next week. We're going to have a podcast from a haunted distillery. We're doing that, dude. Can I tell you, when we decided to do this episode, I think your partner and my partner had the same exact response, right?
Yeah.
So I told Karen we were going to do this, and she was like, don't you dare bring anything back into this house with you.
Which is, it's great, because as we've tried to do something like this over the years, and it hasn't quite worked. First, it was going to be at your place.
And Karen was like, hell no. Fuck no. And then it was going
to
be here.
I wanted
to do
it here.
Raven was like, fuck no.
Yeah, but now we've got a neutral battleground, you know? We get to go to
it. I don't know if I'm going to call that neutral. I think we're very much entering into that spirit's territory.
So we'll let them tell you a little bit more about it. But what's been going on, this distillery is kind of like that place you mentioned earlier. You lived in like the oldest house
where
in Frederick
County. They've just come to accept the spirit that's there.
This is also probably the oldest standing building in Sykesville,
okay,
which is a very old town.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like that same kind of situation, and they're constantly haunted. And the Eckharts did some stuff about it to try to calm that down, and it's all been undone, and
yep,
it's haunted again.
Yep.
So we're gonna haul
it's
our
like
butts
a
over there.
It's like a tragedy, or it's like a comedy of errors, is what it is. Like, it's just like, imagine if like old Gil from The Simpsons was the caretaker of that fucking distillery, and they just let your mind go.
So we'll talk about more of that next week. Maybe we'll even like, I don't know, experience some spooky haunting going on.
We'll
I have no idea what's gonna happen.
But for now. Now that you're done listening, guys, hop on over to campnightmare.com, where you can go to the X-Files under the extra section. You can see a picture of a kangaroo there, and we'll post some pictures of the Snallygaster and the Dwayo as well, and you can kind of come to your own conclusions. And then you can jump over to the merch section and pick up some of our new merit badges and stickers per the top of the episode.
Yeah, we have the three pins, the three glitter stickers. We also have them in packages and bundles, so you can get all three or groups of them.
Or
just check it out.
Six. Yeah.
Just check it out. And if you guys want more camp, head over to patreon.com/campnightmare, where you can get all kinds of cool stuff like pre-orders. Like, for instance, we have a pre-order up right now for a brand new sticker that's on Patreon that'll be dropping next week here for everybody else. And exclusive episodes, like our recent one where we
talk about the absolute fever dream that is From Beyond.
Yes. And read through the actual original H.P. Lovecraft story,
yeah,
which is
I think
a lot
we have,
of fun.
Sooner than later, we're going to have another watch-along. We're definitely going to have a Thanksgiving watch-along come up next month. We do. We're not going to deny you your Thanksgiving turkey.
And we got a lot of good stuff planned for next week. And I just feel like we're keeping Halloween going next week by doing this haunted...
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, that's right.
And
we're honoring
All Hallows Day.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. So for now, guys, as always, I am JB.
And I'm Jordan. And even on Halloween,
nothing is real.
And don't tell us what to do.
Thanks for listening to Camp Nightmare. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Slasher. And for full campfire tales, interviews, X-Files, and more, visit campnightmare.com.
And join our Patreon community of happy campers for monthly secret episodes, exclusive merch deals, B-movie watch-alongs, access to our Discord channel, and more. Visit patreon.com/campnightmare.